Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is Dr. Mark McClellan, Commissioner of Food and Drugs. And joining us in our conversation is Therese Morin.
Hi, Mark. The FDA also has plans to change the standards for making health claims for food. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I can tell you that one of our top priorities in the agency is to get better, more accurate information to consumers about the health consequences of their food choices. We know more today than ever about the fact that people's dietary choices matter for their health. And recently, we've made some important announcements in this area. We announced a change in the nutrition facts section. This is something that's on the product labels of just about all the foods that you buy and tells you what the ingredients are. This was created about a decade ago, and this is the first significant change in nutrition facts. We're adding a line about the content of trans fats in the foods that people eat. People should try to keep down the levels of cholesterol, saturated fats, and trans fat in their diet, and giving consumers better information about the content of their foods is the best way to do that. We also made a recent set of announcements about our process for encouraging companies to compete based on the health consequences of their foods. One of the first things that I did after coming to the agency was set up an internal task force that included our nutrition experts as well as experts from the Federal Trade Commission and the National Institutes of Health to make recommendations to me about how we can encourage companies and better inform people to understand and compete on the basis of the health consequences of foods. And as a result of the report of this task force, we're going to make some significant changes at FDA. We are setting up a process that whereby we will review applications that come into us for putting a request for putting a note on the product label about what the health consequence of a food is. And we're going to do this with expert advice, not only internally but from the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality and other independent experts. And we're going to also conduct and continue to expand our work on consumer research, on marketing studies for how people understand scientific information that's communicated to them about the health consequences of their foods. This will include a rating system where we make judgments about how strong the science is in support of a health claim. And it's all intended to give people an accurate place to get reliable information about what the latest science has to say about the health consequences of their dietary choices. Let me give you a couple of specific examples. One that I think people will be seeing on their foods very soon is that eating a diet high in fruits and vegetables, at least 5 servings a day of fruits and vegetables, may lower your risk of some types of cancer and other chronic diseases. Others that we're reviewing in the coming months under this new process include the possibility that eating a diet high in omega-3 fatty acids, like is found in some kinds of fish, may reduce your risk of heart disease, and substituting foods that are high in unsaturated fats for foods that are high in trans or saturated fats may reduce your risk of heart disease as well. I think that food companies should be competing not just on taste and price and how easy a food is to prepare. Those are all things that consumers value. I also think that consumers value the health consequences of food as part of a overall diet. And we want to get that information right on the label to make people more conscious about it and make companies more conscious about it as well.
Earlier you mentioned the development of the strategic plan and its context in FDA. Could you tell us about the process and the results of that?
I will. This is actually very important to element of my approach to working at the agency. Before I even officially came on board, after my confirmation, I went on a retreat with the agency's senior professional leadership, the people who, the dedicated staff that have been there for many years and in most cases working on the difficult problems that FDA has to face. We spent a couple of days, we got together to figure out what our top priorities for the agency are. You know, what do we really want to get accomplished in the coming months and years? And through that process, we got to consensus on 5 key areas where the FDA, we believe, needs to focus its efforts. First, from an internal standpoint, is having a strong FDA. We need investigators and reviewers and other staff who are well-trained and up-to-date in the best techniques for doing their job. A second key priority is what we call efficient risk management, and that's kind of a mouthful. But again, as we talked about earlier, our main goal at the FDA is to reduce the risk that people face, both the safety safety risks in the products they use and the risks of diseases and other health problems that using new drugs or eating a good diet can help reduce as well. We want to find the most efficient way to reduce these risks. So if we've got a regulatory challenge, what we are increasingly try to do is go through a careful analysis of what the risks involved are, go through a risk management review of how we might manage those risks, and then ask the question about efficiency. What's the least cost way of getting the risk facing the public down? Least cost to us because we have limited resources, but especially least cost to society. We don't want to impose any unnecessary costs on medical products or on foods because people are struggling today to afford these products. So that's a philosophy that we have applied in many of the things that we're doing at the agency now, from the improvements in our review processes for drugs and medical devices to our new strategy for food security for the country. In many, many areas, we need to apply the principles of efficient risk management. And then we decided that there are three other areas where we particularly wanted to focus. One is in patient safety, reducing the adverse events that people may experience in using the products that we regulate. We've already talked a little bit about that. I think adverse events are way too common. There are tremendous opportunities for reducing costs in healthcare and improving the public health by adopting new approaches to help make medical care and the other products that we regulate safer and easier to use. A second key area is consumer information. For all that the medical technologies that we regulate can do and for all the regulatory protections we provide, the most important impacts on the public health, any public health expert can tell you this, come from people's own choices about their diet, their lifestyle. The choices that they make can have big impacts on the public health. And so the more that we can do to help make sure that consumers are making those choices based on good and up-to-date science-based information, the more we think we can promote our mission of protecting and improving the public health. And finally, as we've already talked about as well, countering terrorism has got to be a top priority of just about all of the agencies in government today, especially for one like us that is so involved in food safety and food security and also so involved in getting more effective medical treatments to the population. We are way behind in medical technology for the agents of terrorism, and we're taking major new steps to bring that up to date. By going through the strategic planning process and working from these large goals to some specific performance objectives, results-oriented objectives, I think it's helped us work together much more effectively given our limited resources on what people in the agency think, as well as our constituents think, are the most important public health problems for us to address.
Mark, as I recall, when you took on your role as commissioner, you indicated that one of your major focus areas would be human capital management.
Yes.
What has the FDA done in this area?
Well, the FDA is already starting from a fairly strong spot. The Washingtonian magazine last year rated FDA as one of the top government agencies for jobs and for lifestyle, and there are a lot of reasons for that. We've been leading the way, I think, in a number of innovative programs like a flexible place workforce. About 20% of our workforce telecommutes for a significant part of their work effort. We also have a flexible hours program, an NE80 program that allows people to work their schedule around important outside constraints, young kids, parents that might need help, other challenges in other parts of their life. These kinds of steps help us attract some of the better and retain some of the better talent out there. We've also tried to use flexible hiring procedures. There are so-called Title 42 approaches that enable us to offer performance rewards to some of our best scientists to help attract and retain them. Steps like that to make this an attractive place to work. Recently, we've also tried to expand our training programs, our e-learning programs and the like, and we are taking a number of other steps, such as new surveys, performance-oriented surveys by the Gallup organization and others that try to link workforce satisfaction, the satisfaction of our workers with their job, to job performance, because I think there's a tremendous amount that can be done there. If we have people who are working hard and are enjoying their work, we're going to get a lot more done.
What's FDA doing in the area of e-government?
Well, we've talked about a number of steps already. Many of the innovations in training programs and the like are happening over the internet. And overall, in fulfilling our mission, there are tremendous gains to be had from increased reliance on modern information technology. Just as for example, we are trying to move towards electronic submission of the product applications coming into the agency. some of these product applications for new drugs may be literally 100,000 pages or longer in length. And getting those records on paper is both burdensome to our nation's forests and burdensome to our staff to be able to track down the documents. Not only that, there's a tremendous amount of information in these reports that can potentially be used by the agency to get insights into how to make the regulatory process work better. If we can compare across applications more easily, we can see patterns that might enable us to provide clearer guidance to industry and to product developers about how they might take steps to reduce the cost and the uncertainty in the development time. So we're trying to automate all of these processes. I've already talked about some of the steps that we're taking on patient safety as well by relying on the electronic health information systems outside the agency in the nation that are increasingly becoming more and more sophisticated. We can learn more about medical practice and potential safety problems that ought to be influencing our decisions about product regulation. So there's a lot to be gained from e-government activities at FDA.
It's an interesting point, especially about all the paper. So much of what the FDA does involves the work between government, industry, health, and education. What are the best practices, coordinating, collaborating? Dr. Mark McClellan of the FDA will give us his insights when the Business of Government Hour continues.